Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. Now, we've been studying all about the people and some of the events leading up to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And in all that, we've pretty well started to come down to the end of that story of Jesus on the cross. We talked about last week where Jesus Christ talked about the Father having forsaken him. And today we really want to focus on this one phrase that Jesus said while he was on the cross. And it's these two simple words, "I thirst." And so here's Pastor Reynolds as we continue studying about the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
In John 19, verse number 28, the Bible states, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst." Jesus Christ is here hanging on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ is dying for the sins of the entire world. Some 3 hours before Christ uttered, "I thirst," he asked the Father to forgive those that crucified him, for they didn't know what they were doing. The people that crucified Christ, they did not know that he was the Son of God. They did not know, and they did not believe, that Jesus Christ came into the world to die for their sins, to offer them eternal life. Then Christ saved one thief on the cross when the thief knew there was absolutely no hope for his eternal soul except through Jesus Christ. The thief humbly asked Christ to remember him when he came into his kingdom. To this humble request, Christ answered, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." After this, Jesus requested John to adopt Mary, his mother, to take care of her for the rest of her life. You see, Christ was the oldest son of Mary. Therefore, it was his duty to take care of his mother. And as she was dying, he did not want her to be without any earthly help. Therefore, he asked John to take care of her the remainder of her life. Then there were 3 hours of darkness upon the entire world. It was during this time that God refused to look upon his only begotten Son, because Jesus Christ was here bearing the sins of the entire world. God cannot look upon sin. After the 3 hours of darkness had passed, and light came on the scene once again, then Christ cried out to his heavenly Father, and he said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Christ had the sins of the entire world upon him. Therefore, his Father could not look upon him, because God cannot look upon sin. It was here that Christ bears the sins of the entire world. That was a time when the Godhead was divided. God was pure and could not look upon his Son, as his Son bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Many believe today that they can bear a part of their sins because they believe their being baptized somehow adds to their believing in Christ. But nothing is greater than simply looking to Christ and realizing there is nothing at all any individual can do to assist Christ. What Jesus Christ does is to give eternal life to all that come to him and ask him for it. This is enough for God. Therefore, it ought to be enough for me. Simply trusting in Christ for salvation. That's exactly what the thief did. And he was granted eternal life. Not because of anything he did. For the thief could do nothing at all to be saved. The thief could not suddenly begin to live right. He didn't have time for that. He didn't join a church. He was not baptized. He didn't knock on any kind of doors. He did absolutely nothing at all in the flesh to be acceptable unto God. The thief simply trusted Christ because he had nothing to give to Christ but himself. This is how any person is granted eternal life. Eternal life is a gift Christ offers and gives freely to all who come to Him and simply ask Him for the great gift of eternal life. It is at this point that Christ's fifth saying on the cross is recorded. That's the text of this morning's message. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Here we have proof that Jesus Christ is indeed the God-man. The one who hung on the cross was more than just a divine man. He was more than just a humanized God. He is the God-man. He is two men in one. Jesus Christ had journeyed with men and had done things that only men can do. In Luke 2, verse number 7, the Bible here states that Jesus was born a baby and wrapped in swaddling clothes. Luke 2, 46 declares that Jesus Christ was a boy and, like all boys, asked questions. The questions Jesus asked stumped the most learned Jews of the day. In Luke 2, verse 52, the Bible states that Jesus Christ increased in wisdom and stature. In Luke 10 and verse 21, the Bible said here that Jesus Christ rejoiced. In this place, the 70 Jesus had sent out had just returned to Him. And they were rejoicing because even the devils were subject unto them through the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, the devils were not subject to them through the power of the disciples. Rather, the devils were subject to them through the power of God Almighty. Jesus Christ told the 70 that it was wrong for them to rejoice because unclean spirits were subject to them through the name or the power of Christ. Jesus Christ told these 70 that they ought to rejoice because their names were written in heaven. Jesus Christ then rejoiced by saying in Luke 10, verse 21 and 22, "In that day Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, 'I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him.'" Jesus plainly states in these verses that to be humble in the eyes of God is much more important than anything the world sees and acknowledges as great. In Matthew 4 and verse number 2, this passage declares that Jesus Christ was hungry after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And I would imagine he was very hungry. Mark 1, verse number 35 states that Jesus prayed during his earthly ministry. Actually, Christ often prayed to his heavenly Father during troubling times. And he prayed when there was nothing troubling him as well. Mark 4 and verse 38 states that Jesus was asleep in the ship when a great storm of wind came up and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full and likely to sink. The disciples finally woke Christ up, and he arose and with three simple words stopped the wind and the sea. You know what he said? He said, "Peace, be still." Mark 6, verse 1 through 6, declares that Jesus Christ taught in the synagogues of his country, but he was not received at all. The people knew him and said amongst themselves, "From whence had this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Jose, and of Judah, and of Simon, and not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. Jesus then said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could not there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hand on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round the villages teaching. Notice in John 4 and verse 6, the Bible states that Jesus Christ was sometimes weary with his journey. Sometimes we get weary. This shows the man part of the Godhead. The Bible states here in this place, in John 4, verse number 6, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. Jesus Christ, you see, was a man. But he never forgot a very important point. He was also God in the flesh. Sometimes Jesus Christ, as a man, got physically tired, even though he never got spiritually tired. He was always about his Father's business. And in John chapter 4, he saved a woman who had been married 5 times, and the man she was currently living with was not her husband. Jesus saved this unworthy woman by his great grace. Jesus saves every kind of sinner there is. If you think you are unfit to be saved, well, you're not unfit. Jesus' love can reach down into the slums of your life and save you before you ever do anything worthy of his great love and forgiveness. Jesus Christ, you see, saves sinners, not those that say they have not sinned. All you have to do to be saved is to admit before God that you're lost, that you need help, and Jesus Christ can freely help you. Jesus Christ can freely wash away all of your sins, and they are gone. In John 11, verse number 35, this is the shortest verse in the entire Bible. It states, Jesus wept. I don't believe that Jesus wept because of the grief caused by the death of Lazarus. Rather, he wept because of the unbelief of the people. Remember this. Jesus Christ did not weep because of the death of Lazarus. Rather, Jesus Christ wept because of the unbelief of the people. John 11, verse 33 states that Jesus groaned in his spirit. Again, Jesus Christ did not groan because of the death of Lazarus. Rather, he groaned in his spirit because of the unbelief of the people. As proof, read John 11, verse 5 and 6, which state, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Jesus actually waited until Lazarus had died before he ever began to travel to the outskirts of Bethany. When Jesus Christ got to the gravesite, Martha, the sister of Lazarus, the one who died, came immediately to Christ and said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Martha then told Mary that Christ had come, and she immediately went to Christ and fell down, proclaiming, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. They didn't know that Jesus Christ had simply waited for Lazarus to die before he ever came. Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead. He was all tied up with napkins and other grave clothes. Jesus then commanded him to loose him and let him go. This is the one who is hanging on the cross for the sins of the world. He is the one who has raised the dead. He is the one who has given comfort to the bereaved. He is the one who has healed many of the sick of many different diseases. But Jesus Christ is not simply dying for physical health. He is dying for the sins of the people. You see, Jesus Christ has more than physical health to give to the people. He has more than just physical life to give. Jesus Christ has eternal life, which is offered to them. This eternal life is exactly that. How long does it last? It lasts for all eternity. And it is life. It is spiritual life. Not simply physical life, which is the same kind of life we have upon this earth. But Jesus Christ gives His kind of life to all who will look to Him and receive this free gift. It's absolutely, totally free. It's eternal life that He gives. Philippians 2 and verse 5 through 11 states, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus Christ is indeed a human being. Jesus Christ wants us to be more like Him than we are like us. You see, that's what the Bible states. In the book of Philippians 2 and verse 5, the Bible said, "Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." Jesus Christ was a human being. Jesus Christ was God incarnate in the flesh. Jesus Christ became flesh that He might win those of the flesh to Himself. No person will ever have the excuse, "Jesus just doesn't know what I'm going through. Jesus Christ just doesn't know my problems." The fact is that Jesus Christ knows everything there is to know about everybody, including the way we suffer. Actually, Jesus Christ knows our sufferings even better than we know them, because He sees everything, and we only see a part of things. Also notice the intensity of the sufferings of Christ. Jesus Christ had undergone a lot of sufferings during the last 24 hours of His life. As soon as He had instituted the Lord's Supper, He had gone to the Garden of Gethsemane, where He had prayed to His Father. He had asked His disciples to also pray, but they were weary, and they went to sleep. Finally, Judas had come and betrayed Him. Judas brought with him this band of men. Jesus Christ had been led away to much punishment. He was beaten with a scourge, had a crown of thorns placed upon His head, had a mock purple robe placed upon His body, been led across Jerusalem at least twice, had undergone questionings from two judges, both of which said He was innocent, but He was not set free. The Jews wanted Christ crucified. They wanted Him gone from their lives. Therefore, Christ had been taken to Golgotha, where He was nailed on a cross. Can you imagine the pain of having a nail purposely driven into your hands and feet? Jesus bore all this pain, yet never uttered a word. Then on the cross, Christ hung in the burning sun for about 3 hours. Then through 3 hours of darkness, during which He was forsaken by His Father. When all of this was over, then Jesus cried, "I thirst." But Jesus Christ didn't say He was thirsty just to get a drink. He said, "I thirst." to fulfill the scripture, because that was all that was on his mind. Listen again to our text of John 19, verse number 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Notice very carefully that Jesus didn't say he was thirsty because he was thirsty. Rather, he said, I thirst to fulfill scripture. And what scripture did Christ have on his mind? There's many scriptures that talk about the death of Jesus Christ and all the sufferings he would undergo on the cross of Calvary. But this scripture, Psalms 69 and verse 21, is exactly the passage that Christ had on his mind. The passage states this, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. This is the passage Jesus was thinking about. And this passage tells us exactly what Christ meant when he said, I thirst. You see, on the cross of Calvary, when Jesus Christ was paying the sin debt of the entire world, God had turned his back upon his Son, his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ was now empty of strength, but only in his body. Jesus' mind was as clear as it had ever been. Jesus' body was racked with pain. His heart was melted in the midst of his bowels, but his mind was not foggy or in the least disturbed by the pain. This shows the greatness of God and the strength that God alone has to give unto us. Notice in John 19, verse 28, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. You see, Jesus Christ didn't say, I thirst, because he was thirsty. But Jesus Christ said, I thirst, because the scripture said he should say it. Can you imagine the power of God that Jesus knew that all things were now accomplished and that only one scripture yet remained to be fulfilled? Christ, in his clear and perfect mind, had gone through all the prophecy of the entire Bible and knew that all things were now accomplished except Psalms 69 and verse 21. This passage states, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. Jesus Christ knew they had not given him anything to drink. Therefore, he said, I thirst. There's also a certain thing to drink. Jesus Christ said, I thirst, and God took care to see that Jesus was given the right thing to drink. After Jesus had taken the vinegar, he knew that all the scriptures concerning his death had been fulfilled. This is our Savior. This is our Lord. This is our King that has shed his own blood on the cross of Calvary for us. Now I would ask you a question. Did Jesus Christ die helpless? Or did Jesus know anything that was going on? Or did Jesus know everything that was going on? Was Jesus still causing things to happen? We can also see how Jesus depended upon his Father when he asked for a drink. Remember the time that God had caused water to come from the jawbone of an ass to quench the thirst of Samson? God had caused water to come from the rock at the command of Moses. When Satan tempted Christ, Christ could have turned rocks into bread, but he refused to do so. It was not his Father's will that Jesus would now create water or that Jesus might quench his own thirst, but Jesus would depend upon his Father for this. Everything that Jesus did was so that his Father might be given glory and not to satisfy his own lust. So should it always be with us. When Christ died on the cross, he paid every saved person's hell. A person who is saved will never have to go through the torments of a fiery hell because Jesus Christ has paid our hell. When Christ cried, I thirst, he was then paying a part of our hell. And all this upon Calvary's cross, and not after he'd given up the Spirit. In John 4, verse 14, Jesus told the woman at the well, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Jesus Christ cried, "I thirst," because of the power of God. Therefore, saved people shall never thirst again, as John 4:14 so certainly declares. But those that refuse to take of the water of life that Christ offers shall thirst throughout all eternity. Now think with me just a second. Look at the rich man in hell. In hell, he lifted up his eyes and asked for a drop of water so that his tongue might be cooled. The rich man here was in torment in the lakes of fire. How great is his spiritual thirst! Notice that water was the first thing the rich man asked for. Listen, if you die lost, you will go to that place of torment, and there you will cry out for a drop of water to cool your tongue. But if you accept the free gift of living water from Christ, you will never, ever thirst again. You see, Christ has already been thirsty for you. Trust in Him today. We pray today that you would repent and that you would trust in Jesus Christ. Revelation 21, verse 6 states, "And He said unto them, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I give unto him that is athirst of the water of life freely." Jesus Christ has the water of life for you. He says unto you that if you will repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you can be given this free gift of eternal life. Our prayers are for you, that you might come to the place of knowing that Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross of Calvary, that He died for you, that He suffered for you. All of the agony that He went through was for you. This is God, because Jesus Christ is God. Jesus gave His life for sinners. But I tell you what, Jesus Christ not only gave His life, but Jesus Christ took it again. Today, if you're lost, repent and believe in Jesus Christ, knowing that He can wash away all of your sins.
You know, Brother Wayne is 100% correct. There is only one way of salvation. There may be billions of people on this earth, and there may be many different religions, but there is only one true way of salvation, and that is only through the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ told the woman at the well that anyone that drank from the water that He gave would never, ever thirst again. And today I ask you personally, are you willing to turn from your sin? Are you willing to humble yourself before an almighty God and see that you are a lost sinner and that you need of the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you can do that, then you can drink from that spring of living water. The solution that Christ offers, they are perfect, they are pure, and they are forever. And we trust that you'll look to Him today. Now, if you'd like to talk to us about salvation, we'd encourage you to stop by and visit with us. We're located at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri, and we're there pretty well all day on Sundays. In the mornings, we always come together for Sunday school at about 10 a.m., worship services at 11, and then we usually stay, we visit, we have a meal, we visit some more, and then usually starting back services around 3:45 with a prayer meeting. And then after prayer meeting, we come back together for another worship service at 4:30. Now, of course, during the week, you've heard me say this before many times probably, during the week, we also come together on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. for a Bible study. Now, for more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.independencebaptist.org. And from there, you'll be able to listen to many different sermons and read a lot of variety of books and articles. Now, as we come down to the close of the broadcast this morning, we want to thank you once again for joining us, and we trust that you'll be able to listen in again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.